Well, good morning, everybody. Good morning, everybody watching online. Good morning, everybody at Mullaloo, wherever you are. Let's give a big clap to everybody else. It's kind of cool that we're all we're together across all these different spaces. If we haven't met, my name is Dean. I'm part of the team here at True North, and it is great to be together. This morning. And if you're new here, welcome. It's great to have you. If you are part of the crew at True North, we are in a series right now. You'll know it's called Each One for Everyone. We're spending a few weeks really unpacking the great commission Jesus gave his followers. That is for each one of us for the sake of everyone. And so before we get into today's message, I just want to highlight one thing for you that's kind of it's an exciting week we have. Next week is what we call Legacy Sunday, and this is a moment where we as a church stop and reflect on how we can, through our generosity, participate in what God is doing to continue to see that mission go forward generation to generation. So we do this kind of once a year, a special moment to focus on that. So next week, we'll be taking up this year. There's three different ways if you want to be part of that, that you can be a part of through your finances and giving, resourcing, and being a part of what God's doing. If you're somebody who's like, hey, wait, why are we talking about money? Or I came to church talking about money. You don't need to worry one bit about this. One of our rules about giving at True North is you can only do it if you can do it cheerfully and joyfully, because God's word says he loves a cheerful giver. And so if you can do it that way, that's great. And if not, that's okay. Honest, there's no pressure at all. And because I know you might be like, well, who would want to do that? Trust me, there's a whole bunch of people who get excited about this kind of thing. And so next week, there's a few ways. One, for some people, your step might just be going, hey, this is the year I'm going to go, Lord, I just want to be a faithful, regular, kind of week in, week out, giver, stewarding what you've put in my hands. For others, it may be, hey, I'm going to pray and say, Lord, is there a gift you'd have me bring to be part of this? For others, the third one, and so this is why mentioning this, because it's a little different if you're around True North. We never done anything like this, a new thing, where through Church of Christ Financial Services, they hold our mortgage, our loan, great partners in ministry over this development here in Marawa, and they've opened up a new way people can invest in God's mission, and that is to be able to open an offset account. You can actually open your own personal, if this is something you want to be part of, a personal offset account to our mortgage at True North, just as a way you could have an offset against your home loan. People can actually say, hey, I'm going to park some money I have with Churches of Christ Financial Services, not at True North, with them. They'll hold it as an offset. What that does is it frees up interest that we are paying right now and allows that loan to be accelerated in its repayment. And what that does is basically ends up accelerating and continuing to leave an extraordinary legacy towards what God is doing through our church. If you want to hear more about that, we got a breakfast next Saturday morning. You can QR code your way to get the details. Let us know you're coming. And I think it's truly, to me, that one, if there's going to be people, you go, yeah, I'd love to be part of that. And if you come, we're going to be able to talk about all the ways that actually God can use your investment, so to speak, to see his kingdom go forward. So love to have you there. But now today, this morning, we are going to get into our message. We're going to get into God's word. Let's have a big clap for God's word. How about that? Some of our young crew are really good at this, getting excited for the scriptures, for God's word. And we are in Matthew chapter 28. And we're going to stand up to read this. Wherever you are, why don't you stand up? Stand up. And we are going to read. Oh, I lost my place, but that's all right. I know where Matthew is. I'm just going to click a button and we go there. Now we're going to read this together. Show of hands, curious. I say Matthew 28, 18, 20, you're like, I already got it memorized. Just curious, show of hands. It's okay. All right. Not a lot of prizes. We got some. Thank you. All right, here we go. I just want to make sure that it would be worth our time to spend extra time in this verse. So that's good. That's good. All right. Give somebody a high five wherever you are and say, that's good. It's good. Now, the reason why I say it's probably good for each one of us, let me say each one. It's good for each one of us, if you're part of the crew at True North, to know these verses. It's good for each one of us if you go, yeah, I gave my life to follow Jesus. It's good for each one of us to know these verses. Because can you imagine how many people have ever been on a sports team? Raise your hand if you've been on a sports team. How many people have ever been on, I'm going to use this one. If you've been on a basketball team, okay, who's been on a basketball team? All right. Now, if you haven't been on basketball, you've been on a sports team. What team are you on? At the count of three, what team have you played on? One, two, three. Okay, so any of those sports, that's great. Imagine you were on a team and you kept having to turn to somebody next to you and go, wait a second, what are we doing out here? You know, imagine you were playing basketball and you're like, why do they keep dribbling it? They could get there so much faster if they just held it. You know, why do they keep trying to put it in that, you know, that, why do we keep trying to kick this ball in that net on the other side? This one's so much closer. You know, if you were on a team where a chunk of you were like, I can't remember the exact goal here, how would that team go? So this is why I say all of us, we have to constantly come back to and go, wait a second. We on a team. We on a squad. Give somebody a high five and say, we on a squad. Give somebody else a high five. Say, we got work to do. And this is why we come to these verses. I encourage you, memorize them. Get them up in your kitchen this week, because these always remind us of all the things we do as a church. We do so many things. And you could get lost in some of them, go, wait a second, why are we going this way? Why are we doing that? Why are we going here? Everything functions under one umbrella, one goal, Jesus' Great Commission. Amen? Amen. All right, Matthew 28, 18, let's read it together. I think it might start in verse 17, actually. But Matthew 28, let's start in 16. Then, all right, so we're going to read it out loud together. Then, the 11.
All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go, disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I command you. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age.
Let's pray. Would you bow with me for a moment? Lord Jesus, we hear these words, familiar to many of us, new and not seen or understood for others. But today, as we come to your word, our prayer is that you might blow in a fresh way on these words, that, Lord, your word might find its way into our hearts like a seed onto good soil, that as it lands there and grows there and takes root there, that, Lord, throughout our lifetimes, it would bear great fruit. So, Lord, as we come to your word, I pray that your spirit might speak to each one of us, Lord, uniquely and personally, for the sake of everyone, for all the different people who are part of our worlds and part of this great world, for whom you would send us. So come, Holy Spirit, speak and lead us. We pray together in Jesus' name. And everybody agreed, said?
Amen.
Amen. Amen. You can grab a seat if you are standing. Do you know what's fascinating as we think about these words? Is trying to figure out how, after this moment that we just read, Jesus speaking to maybe as few as 11, maybe into a couple hundred people, maybe a few, at the very most 500, most likely somewhere between 11 and 100-ish people, that somehow it got all the way to us. Jesus who, it doesn't really, people have all kinds of views and beliefs on who Jesus is. What no one can dispute is that there was a man named Jesus of Nazareth who went to a cross and was killed by the Roman Empire. And that, by all accounts, should have been the end of the story. It was the end of the story for a number of other would-be messiahs, would-be people who the Roman Empire, you know, that they were put to death in the same way that we don't even know their names. It seems like this should have been the end. I love what John Ortberg wrote, a great book. It's called Who Is This Man? And he writes these words in his book talking about, I guess, the unexpected nature of what happens there. He says this. So we have that first slide. It says, on the day after Jesus' death, the day after Jesus' death, it looked as if whatever small mark he had left on the world would rapidly disappear. But instead, his impact on human history has been unparalleled. After his disappearance from earth, the days of his unusual influence began. Now, normally when someone dies, their impact on the world immediately begins to recede. But Jesus inverted this normal human trajectory as he did so many others. His impact was greater 100 years after his death than during his life. It was greater still after 500 years. After 1,000 years, his legacy laid the foundation for much of Europe. After 2,000 years, he has more followers in more places than ever. Who is this man? One more slide. If someone's legacy will outlast their life, it usually becomes apparent when they die. On the day when Alexander the Great or Caesar Augustus or Napoleon or Socrates or Muhammad died, their reputations were immense. When Jesus died, his tiny failed movement appeared clearly at an end. If they're a kind of most likely to posthumously succeed award given on the day of death to history's most influential people, Jesus would have come dead last. How does it happen? Can I tell you something? If you're here today and maybe you don't normally come to church, maybe a bit like, I don't even know what all this is about. Can I tell you this? One of the greatest questions every one of us can wrestle with is, who is this Jesus? And how does this even happen? By all accounts, it should have been over. And yet, here we are. People continue to find life, hope, meaning, purpose, direction, joy, strength in adversity, all through Jesus. And I want to suggest to you and to us that one of the most important parts, you know, and there's all kinds of ways people could try and explain how does this happen, but I want to just suggest to you and to us that one of the core reasons that this happens, one of the factors at the very heart of what is undeniable in human history, why doesn't it end at his death? Because he is still alive, and not only that, he is still present. You know what I love about the end of the Great Commission? Jesus gives, if you were going to call it something on the mountain that day, you might not have gone, this is the Great Commission. We'll get this done. You would have called it Mission Impossible. Like, are you serious? Like, if I was there. Now, when you're seeing the resurrected Jesus in front of you, you probably have a different frame of reference for what's possible. But it would have looked like Mission Impossible. How in the world is this small group of ragtag people ever, I mean, this group of people who, you know, it was made up of people who in every other category were like, not good enough for this, not going to make it on that, didn't have the right credentials, the right experiences, the right birthplaces and all these things. It was just this motley crew collection of people. And then you tell them, no, you're going to go from this little mountain into all the nations of the world. And everybody's going to start to believe in this Jesus who everyone saw crucified. And the only way this thing happens is because he is present. I want us to reflect this morning on the last part of this passage. We're going to reflect on the great promise Jesus gives. He gives his promise to each one for the sake of everyone. And he gives this promise. The very end of the Great Commission is this. And I will be with you always to the very end of the age. I'm going to talk this morning about what we're going to call the be with factor. You take away the be with factor, that Jesus will be with you. You take away that factor. This mission goes nowhere. It doesn't even make sense. But when Jesus is with you, it changes everything. And so as we think about each one of us, for the sake of everyone, today I want you to reflect, and so if you're a person of faith, I want you to be reminded of just what happens when we lean into the presence of Jesus in our life. If you're someone who's here and you're not sure about faith and you're exploring all that, I want you to maybe get a snapshot of why this Jesus is so different than anyone else and the power and the potential and the promise of actually his presence with us. See, Jesus' presence promised to us always till the very end of the age. Jesus says, you're going to go all the world, you're going to make disciples of everybody. And he says in the feature, the defining feature, says, I'm going to be with you. I'll be with you in this. Yeah, this mission might look wild, might look challenging, difficult, might look like mission, but I will be with you, and that will change everything. And the reason it changes everything is because his presence does three things. We're going to just reflect on this morning. First is this, his presence empowers the mission. Let me hear you say empowers. The presence, his presence empowers the mission. You don't turn on the electricity, it's going nowhere. And the electricity, the power for Jesus' mission is his presence. His presence, not only does it empower the mission, his presence, why say, I will be with you, because his presence transforms his people. Let me hear you say transforms. The thing that makes us go from who we were to who we can become and are becoming in Jesus is Jesus' presence. It transforms us. And the last thing that his presence does is his presence brings great peace. Let me hear you say peace. Let me see you give somebody a fist bump. Say peace, homie. You know, like peace. This is a good thing. It's good. You're welcome here. Peace. You know, His presence brings extraordinary peace. You see, Jesus, in one of his, we're going to go through these for a few moments this morning. His presence empowers his people. His presence empowers the mission. Do you know that in Acts chapter 1, verse 8, this is in between the time Jesus is resurrected and in between before that moment on the mountain when he sends them all out. He's teaching them, and he's saying, here's how it's going to work, and here's how it's going to go down. And in Acts 1:8, as they're asking questions about what's going to happen, when will the end be, all this stuff, he says, listen, here's what's going to happen. He says, you will receive power. In fact, let's read Acts 1:8 together, okay? Wherever you are, we're going to read Acts 1:8 together. He says, but you will
receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in all Judea, in Samaria, and to the ends of the earth.
In this moment, Jesus says, here's what's going to happen. This mission is mission impossible. There is no reason on earth, no reason, like no human strategy, no work harder, try, do better. I used to, in school, always get these reports that would say, needs to exert more effort, you know, things like that. Not working to potential. Let me tell you something. There's no amount of effort, no amount of potential, no amount of just try harder, do more, figure it out that makes Jesus' mission go forward. One thing, he says, don't even bother going anywhere. You want to go in Jesus' name? He says, don't go anywhere until the Holy Spirit comes, because you will receive power. The Holy Spirit is Jesus' continuing presence in this world. And Jesus says, I will send the Holy Spirit. Jesus, God, in His plans and desired the way he's going to do everything, thought it, rather than have Jesus walking around in the flesh, the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit say the best thing would be actually the Spirit of God, the presence of God indwelling every follower of Jesus, empowering them for the life that God has for us, and empowering this mission to go forward to bring others to know the name of Jesus. And so he says, the power is going to come, and then you're going to go. You're going to start in Jerusalem, and then go to Judea and Samaria to the very ends of the earth. That here's how the mission will unfold, that when the Spirit comes, power comes, and you just start going. Everything about what God wants for us is a story of how we go. The story of the gospel is the story of a God who went, Jesus, who left heaven and came to earth to rescue us and did it perfectly and restores us to knowing God. And now he says, now you go in my name and I'll send my presence with you and you'll go. And you'll start, Jerusalem kind of represents where you are. You'll start in your closest circle and sphere of influence. And then there's this picture though, but it won't stop there. It's going to keep spreading and it's go beyond that to Judea. It's going to go to, you know, wider reaches, go to Samaria, wider yet. And people who are very unlike us, the least likely from their perspective, all that kind of thing. So you can keep going until it gets to the very ends of the earth, until all the way it makes its way to, of course, Perth, which is the end of the earth. We live at the end of the earth. We are a living testimony that these words came true because it made its way. If it got to Perth, anybody know how long a flight to Perth is from, you know? It's from the first century. It's a long way. But, you know, one of the things I want to encourage you with is know this. When God's Spirit is with us, something in our hearts makes us want to go. And so we cultivate his presence. We walk in his presence. And one of the things his spirit will do over time is make us want to go. Sometimes it's going across a room. Sometimes it's going across our family. Sometimes it's going across a street or a city or across a nation or across the world. But something causes us to want to go, to see someone else know this good news. Do you know one of the things I want to share with you next week? We are having a gathering of believers up in Yanship. Give me a clap for Yanship wherever you are. Let's go. Because it turned out like metropolitan Perth wasn't the end of the earth. Yanship is, but that's it. Geraldton fend for itself. No, just joking. That's just kidding. But next week, we got a gathering of believers in Yanship. If you live in Yanship and you're watching online, if you live Alkimos on up, I just want to encourage you to consider going along to this because if you've been part of True North for any amount of time, you know we believe God has called and positioned us to plant the church in Yanship. To go. And we wait because Jesus says, wait till you receive power. And I think it's not, we haven't been necessarily waiting for God to just release the Holy Spirit. We've been waiting for God to say, you know what, it's time to go. Because we don't want to go, you know, going on this mission, the Great Commission, it's not about, hey, I think this is good. It's about, Lord, what do you want me to do? Where do you want me to go? And we feel like 2024 is the year God's saying, it's time to go. It's time to establish a group of believers worshiping Jesus and going as part of the Great Commission in Yanship and for that area and that region. And I just wanted to mention that today, say, if you live up that way, you know, just consider, even if you think, but no, I'm happy where I am. I'm happy where I'm worshiping at the moment. The thing about the Great Commission is it's always about go. It's always about leave your comfort zone. It's always about, it's like the power of Jesus comes on and it makes us want to go. And so I encourage you, just go just for a meeting. And just say, Lord, do you want me to be part of this? Just pray. Listen. You know, he tends to lead and direct what he wants to have happen. You know, Jesus' presence empowers his people. Now, the second thing I was saying that his presence does is it transforms. Let me hear you say transforms. We are in the process of being transformed by Jesus. That process won't be over until one day we meet him face to face. But his presence transforms us along the way. Do you know why it's so important that we cultivate his presence in our lives? He's promised us his presence. And as we cultivate and lean into and walk in his presence, we are transformed along that walk and along that journey. Do you know, I love one of the things that happens. Peter, you know, in Acts 1, Jesus said, my power is going to come on you. And I want you to, if you're not familiar with Peter's story, in the time between when Jesus died and his resurrection, Peter famously denies Jesus 3 times. He's like, no, I don't want to be seen to be associated with him right now because I'm afraid of what will happen to me. So great is his fear that he denies him even to a servant girl, like the lowest status person who theoretically should have no, but he just keeps denying. And yet, by the time, once that power comes, once the Spirit is poured out, well, guess what? He goes from being Simon, who's like, not me, to this entirely different person, seemingly, who stands and proclaims boldly without fear or concern of what might happen to him. He is transformed. In fact, one day he and his friend John are walking, walking to church to worship, and they see somebody who's crippled, and they heal him. And this gets them in all kind of trouble because it feels like a threat to the establishment. And so the rulers, they call him in, and they're like, hey, what are you doing here? And they throw him in Acts chapter 4. Peter ends up giving this defense. And after they listen and they watch how they've handled this whole thing, I love this in Acts 4:13, the remark that's made, it says, when these people, the authorities, you know, who had the power to throw him in jail and beat him and do all these things. When they saw the courage of Peter and John and realized that they were unschooled, ordinary men, they were astonished. And they took note that these men had been with Jesus. Let me say, been with. They look and they go, what's happened here doesn't really make sense because these two guys, They're unschooled. In other words, they didn't have all the right training. They didn't follow all the right kind of steps in the process that they thought should have been followed. They seemed to them just like ordinary people with seemingly very little, that would have been like sort of desirable or status or look how talented they are, look how this they are. They just went, how does this happen? And it just says they took note. They had been with Jesus. You know, being with Jesus, being in his presence is the thing that actually transforms us from who we were into who God has created and calling us to be. When we think about that Great Commission and learning to obey everything Jesus commanded, sometimes like, what? So does Jesus just give us, here's a set of rules and list, and if you just do X, Y, Z, the picture there is so much bigger and greater. It speaks of people who will follow Jesus so closely and spend time in his presence that they will end up learning to live their lives as if Jesus was them. They get transformed over time, but we get transformed not by just our own human effort, though that is involved at times, but we are transformed by his presence. You know, this is not also Jesus introducing something new at the end, like in Matthew 28, and this idea, my presence will be with you. It wasn't like Jesus was like, here's sort of like this brand new add-on. This has always been the way that God works. You know, the scriptures from front to back are a story of a God who wants to be present with his people. Story of a garden where he created humanity and he walked in that garden with them. And what he wanted was presence, connection, relationship with people made in his image. And that relationship, that connection, the presence gets broken, but from the beginning he sets in plan this motion to restore this sense of connection and presence. But you know, and one of the people that he uses is this guy Moses, and Moses becomes like someone who's going to be a mediator in between the people that God's forming and God. And Moses, we're told, used to go and meet with God and go into his presence in a place called the Tent of Meeting. And he'd go into this tent, and inside that tent, he'd meet with God. And when he would walk out of it, they used to say his face glowed. And he had to cover it up and wear a veil over it because it's like face glowing. How cool is that? I wish that would happen when I walked out of like my time alone with the Lord. People are like, you're literally glowing. Like, it's, you know, that being said, how many people have ever had somebody say to you, you know, I met somebody I didn't know not long ago, and one of the things they said to me, they don't know who I was or what I did, and they said, where do you get your joy? Do you know people can say, and I guarantee those of you who've walked with Jesus a long time, you've had moments like that where you don't think there's anything unique, but someone says something to you, and you realize like, whoa, wait a second. That's not about me. They didn't say like, what school did you go to? Where did you learn your joy? You look like someone who might have benefited from exerting more effort as a child. You know, it's transformation happens as we just spend time in his presence. I say all that to say, it's his presence that transforms us. But here's the beautiful thing. I just want you to catch this. If you're someone who knows Moses and how he spent time with the Lord. If you are a follower of Jesus now, in Moses' day, God's Spirit was only given to particular people at particular times for particular tasks and goals or reasons. And then it's after Jesus sends the Spirit on everyone that what was once upon a time only available to particular people at particular times for particular moments is actually available to all of us. That there's this, you know, as Moses used to have to go in that tent, we're told now and then the tent and there becomes a temple, but the curtain that used to separate us from the presence of God has been ripped in half through Jesus. So if you're a follower of Jesus, you and I have access to go straight into God's presence. How extraordinary is that? And what I just want to encourage you with today is this, the more time we will cultivate to actually spend and walk and cultivate a sense of his presence, we will be transformed over time. You know, at the heart of cultivating his presence is learning to pray, is learning as well to incorporate what are sometimes called spiritual disciplines or habits or practices There are things that we can do, not so that we measure up and earn God's favor, but rather there are things we can do that help take us into God's presence so that we can spend more time there. So that over time in the New Testament, the picture is eventually you can pray without ceasing. Our lives just become lived before God and in his presence. It's where we want to always keep stepping towards, knowing process won't be done until one day in new creation. But you and I are invited here now to keep spending time in his presence. That's where we're transformed. You know, I want to just, encourage you with this last one. And then I want to give you just a couple small things you could do if you want to. But I think this one's so important. Do you realize his presence can give us extraordinary peace? How many people hear the word peace and think, I'd like me some of that? Peace. We live in an anxious, conflicted, often fearful and worried age. And in our position as followers of Jesus is not to say, you know, bad for being that way. No, no, no. But we are to be those who have so cultivated a sense of Jesus' presence, we can offer up a light and a reflecting face that could say, hey, maybe there's another way. And we will do that all imperfectly. We won't, you know, I don't in any way mean to say we'll just be able to say goodbye to that. But can I tell you this? When we lean into the presence of God, it brings peace. You know, in Mark chapter 13 or 14, we've got this verse. Jesus was telling his disciples, like, when's the end going to come? And Jesus tells them this, verse 10. He says, the gospel must first be preached to all nations before he goes to the cross. He's helping them know, here's the plan, here's the mission. It's going to go everywhere, mission worldwide. Now, whenever you are arrested and brought to trial, do not worry. How many people, if I got arrested today for following Jesus and taking a trial, especially by the Roman Empire, where they can kind of kill me. This is not like a trial like we're used to and there's going to be an impartial fair. No. He's like, when you get arrested and taken to trial, don't worry. Don't worry about it. Give somebody a high five. Say, don't worry about it. You know, come on. He says, don't worry about it. Why? Don't worry beforehand about what you'll say, how you'll defend yourself. Just say whatever is given you at the time, for it's not you speaking, but the Holy Spirit. God's presence, his Holy Spirit will be with you. And you don't need to worry about the things that would ordinarily worry people, because he'll lead you through it. You wonder, how am I going to do this, get through that? What will I say? How will I, you know, many of us are not facing anything close to what they were about to face in terms of persecution in the early church. But the reason to not worry isn't like, well, buck up, be tough, put on your, you know, kind of tough guy pants or whatever it is. I don't know. Is that a thing? Tough guy pants and new brand. But he says, no, just trust the Holy Spirit be with you. Can I tell you, one of the amazing people in the early days of the Great Commission, in the first kind of century, there's a guy named Polycarp. Anybody ever heard of Polycarp? Give me a quick hand if you heard of Polycarp. Like, what a cool name. And I just want to say his name because I know, like, Chantel's having a boy. Chantel, there's not many Polycarps. Like, just so you know, if you're having a boy out there, Polycarp is, I just think it's cool. It's a great name. Try and get it out there. Get this thing viral. Put it on TikTok in any way. But the idea is Polycarp. Oh, man, that's when you get cringed in the front row. Just... So Polycarp was this early follower of Jesus. A lot of people say he was probably trained by John, the disciple. And Polycarp was in an area in what's now modern day Turkey. The church had gone that far. I mean, this is getting actually kind of far reaches. And he was familiar with Paul's writings as well, taught by John. And he was like a bishop. He was leading a number of churches in that area. And persecution, this is kind of second century, it's starting to come. It's not as widespread as it would become. But in his local area, they are going to go get him and they're going to put him to death. And so he finds out about it. He's actually an old man at this point. People are telling him, you should run, you should leave, you could hide out. And he says, nah, whatever the Lord's will is, that's what it'll be for me. So this guy has now got, you know, sort of the local police, if you will. And there's a lot of historical records of martyr, eyewitness accounts, so he's very famous, one of the first early Christian martyrs. He's an early Christian martyr who we have a lot of history about. Anyway, the police are coming to this little farmhouse type thing he's staying at, And he actually knows that they're coming, and guess what he does? He makes them dinner, and he prepares, like, these tables with food. And they're coming to get him and to take him and to do whatever they want to him, and he's just quietly praying. When they come, he's just upstairs just praying, just chilling in prayer. And then they're like, well, we're going to take you. You need to go to jail, or maybe you'll die. You need to renounce Jesus, and you need to just worship Caesar, because that's the way it worked. They called Christians in that time atheists because they weren't worshiping all the Roman gods, and they wouldn't acknowledge that Caesar is Lord. So they're like, you got to just renounce Jesus, and we'll leave you alone. And so then he's like, can I just have a couple more hours to pray? And he prays with them. And by the end of the time he's done praying, now they're like, we don't want to kill this guy. Like, what are we going to do here? And they're like, just renounce Jesus. Come on, man. And he's like, nah, I'm good. Do with me what you want. So they take him, and then they start roughing him up. They try physical intimidation, all this stuff. And they're like, just renounce Jesus. And he says this one famous quote. He says, I've served him for 86 years. He's done me no wrong. I'm not going to blaspheme him now. And then they say, well, we're going to throw you on a pile of fire. And he basically is like, that's fine. So they take him. They are going to nail him to something to throw him into the fire. He goes, you don't need to nail me. You can just tie me up. I won't go anywhere. And then he goes on the fire. And they say, the eyewitness accounts say the flames actually didn't touch him. And they end up having to kill him with a knife. And that's the story of Polycarp. And I tell you his story because his story, that makes no sense. It makes no sense. And I hope none of us have to endure that. Sadly, too many of our brothers and sisters around the world face similar things still to this day. But do you realize this? We have access to the same presence of God that Polycarp did that can allow us to go through our lives with such a calm peace that no matter what is thrown at us, it's okay. You know, because we've been in the presence of God. You know, my encouragement is this as well. If God's presence can give us peace from physical death and persecution like Polycarp faced, then I bet his presence and peace is enough for me and what I face. And wouldn't it just be an extraordinary thing to be one of those people who, you know, I hope, one of my favorite, and I'll finish this saying, years ago, one of my professors, a guy named Martin Sanders, early mentor, before I knew him as a mentor, he said this thing in a class that stuck with me forever. He said, my hope is that when people have been with me, they know that I've been with him. And I share that with you, and I always try to take, I hope that in my life, when people have been with me, they know I've been with him. And some people won't ever be able to connect those two dots, and that's okay. But the point is, it reminds me, each one of us has a part in this great commission. But can I tell you something? The part that we have for the sake of others is just to become people who cultivate and lean into Jesus' presence in our lives. And over time, he'll reshape us from the inside out. And he'll reshape our priorities. And he'll reshape who we are. And we're told even that his spirit in us, it's like it'll produce fruit that just makes our lives different. Things like peace and joy and love and gentleness and kindness and faithfulness. All these things, they start to happen, not by forcing it out, but just his presence. And his presence will gift his people. How does this mission happen? His spirit will give gifts that will empower his people to carry out his work in this world, that enable us to do things that are just not possible in human effort. But these gifts, the Holy Spirit gives us for the sake of seeing this mission go forward for each one. And as we just lean into as a people, the presence of Jesus, each one of us, because that great commission, it's given to each one for the sake of everyone. And that promise, I'll be with you always, it's a promise to God's people. I will be with you. And you and I are just invited, if you want to be a part of that mission and a part of what Jesus did, we're invited to just be people who cultivate his presence in our life. It's promised to us. It's given to us. We don't earn it. We can't lose it if our faith is in Christ. We can't even lose it. But we're invited to cultivate it. I want to invite you to stand up wherever you are. And I want to just give you just a couple ideas for you. If you want to be a person this week, you're like, you know what? I want to cultivate his presence. Do you know, this is why we gather like we are on a Sunday. Jesus said, where two or more are gathered, there I am with you. There's a unique way his presence is amongst us. And we're invited to be people who will find space and time in our lives to, just like Moses used to go to the tent of meeting to meet with God, you and I are invited to create space in our lives where we specifically lean into prayer and to practicing his presence. We're invited to find space in our lives where we lean into so many of the different practices that have been given to God's people through the ages to cultivate his presence. I actually, if you're at either of our physical locations, we got two books if you wanted to grab something to kind of just give you something fresh to think about on the journey of cultivating God's presence back at the Welcome Lounge there. This first one's called How to Pray by Pete Gregg. It's a great book on how to pray. If you want something just fresh to read about how to pray, can I encourage you to do this? One, get the book, and then two, find someone else to read it with. Or if you have a small group of people, there's an online course you can do there. A lot of our Connect groups have been doing it. It's just great. And it helps you just go, yeah, that's right. Let's be people of prayer, cultivate his presence. Second book we got available if you want to purchase these. And they're there for purchase, but if you're like, I want that, but I don't have that, don't worry. Just go let them know, hey, I can't today, but I really love that. That's fine. But the second one's called Invitation to a Journey. I mentioned this one last week. It's called a roadmap for spiritual formation. And it's everything from prayer to understanding your own unique journey in life and how God wants to work in you. Again, grab it. Grab two people. Say, hey, let's read this together. Let's talk about this journey together. I just want to give a, because there may be a few of you, it's like, I really just want to take some steps. Those will help you. But for all of us, if you're a follower of Jesus, you want to be a part of this, each one for everyone. Oh, the beautiful good news of the gospel is you don't have to keep trying harder and thinking I better earn it. You just have to like step into that flow of his Holy Spirit. Start creating space like he's there. He's waiting for you to step in. The curtain's torn. You're welcome. Jesus came. He was perfect, so you don't have to be. But the God who loves you and is with you and is for you, he invites you. My presence is with you. And any other plan for carrying out the Great Commission, anything apart from, hey, Jesus is going to be with us and we're going to be led, empowered, transformed, and full of peace through his Holy Spirit, any other plan just will not do it. And no other explanation can explain it. Somehow, all the way from that mountain to you and I today, the mission goes forward because he is with us. I want to pray for you and pray for us this morning. If you're here in person, there's tables around the room. And isn't it amazing that what he left us was something very physical right in our midst? Bread, a cup, the bread representing his body, the cup his blood. That at the center of it all is the God who is present in our midst. The one who went to the cross on our behalf, who tore the curtain in two so that you and I could come today and say, thank you, Lord, for all you've done. May I know more of your presence in my life. I want to pray for you as we spend time in his presence this morning. Our gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you for the gift of the Son, the presence of the Holy Spirit here in our midst. And I pray today for my brothers and sisters in the faith, that as we eat and drink together with one another, let your presence be profound in our midst. As we lean into you, may we be transformed. May we know peace. May we be empowered for what you have for each of our lives. Thank you that we come with confidence, boldness, and peace. In Jesus' name.